Free Presbyterian Church of Ulster, we present Let the Bible Speak. It's good to have you join us today as we spend time around the Word of God, preaching Christ in all His fullness to men and women in all their need.
Let's turn to the Lord in a word of prayer. Our Heavenly Father, we come to Thee in the precious and the peerless name of our Lord Jesus Christ. We thank You for that name which is above every name. And we thank Thee that at the name of Jesus every knee shall bow. We bless Thee, Lord, when we think of that name, we think of what He has done for us. We bless Thee that there is none other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved. We bless Thee for the cross of Calvary. We thank You for the doings of Christ. We thank You, Lord, for His precious blood shed. Thank You, Lord, for His willingness to suffer as the just for the unjust, to suffer the condemnation of sinners. And Lord, we bless Thee for all that He has done for us. And we come in His precious name this evening, and we pray for Thy blessing. We pray for Thy presence to be amongst us. I pray, Lord, that You'll give us a teachable spirit. Give us a soft heart to hear, and not just to be hearers of the Word, but to be doers of the Word. Lord, I pray for the Reverend McIntyre as he comes in a few moments as he meditates upon the Word of God. We pray that You'll give him great liberty. Lord, we pray that You'll help him in the preaching of the Word. And Lord, that through the Holy Spirit, the Word of God will be applied powerfully to our hearts. Teach us,
from thy word. Write your word upon our hearts, that it would have its cleansing and its sanctifying effect. And Lord, that you'll make us the people who you would have us to be. Lord, we ask these things in the precious name of Jesus. Amen. Amen. We're going to turn in the scriptures to Matthew chapter 6 and break in at the verse 24 and read down to the end of the chapter. Matthew 6 and verse 24. No man can serve two masters, for either he will hate the one and love the other, or else he will hold to the one and despise the other. Ye cannot serve God and mammon. Therefore I say unto you, take no thought for your life, what ye shall eat, or what ye shall drink, nor yet for your body, what ye shall put on. Is not the life more than the meat, and the body than raiment? Behold the fowls of the air, for they sow not, neither do they reap, nor gather into barns. Yet your heavenly Father feedeth them. Are ye not much better than they? Which of you, by taking thought, can add one cubit unto his stature? And why take ye thought for raiment? Consider the lilies of the field, how they grow. They toil not, neither do they spin. And yet I say unto you that even Solomon in all his glory was not arrayed like one of these. Wherefore, if God so clothe the grass of the field, which today is and tomorrow is cast into the oven, shall he not much more clothe you, O ye of little faith? Therefore take no thought, saying, what shall we eat, or what shall we drink, or wherewithal shall we be clothed? For after all these things do the Gentiles seek. For your heavenly Father knoweth that ye have need of all these things. But seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. Take therefore no thought for the morrow shall take thought for the things of itself. Sufficient unto the day is the evil thereof. Amen. This is the word of God, and we fully expect the Lord to bless the public reading of his word. We're going to turn to that wonderful hymn, Days Are Filled with Sorrow and Care.
It is a blessing to be with you this evening. A word of thanks to the Reverend Marcus Leckie for leading. The theme of the message today is confronting our concerns, facing our fears, winning over our worries. Almost 60 years ago in 1961, Time magazine published a cover story on the problems caused by anxiety in the United States of America. The author called worry one of the most debilitating and widespread ailments of our time. The author also claimed that one of the contributing factors to the increasing prevalence of anxiety was the breakdown of faith and reason. I find that interesting, coupled with the accelerated pace of modern life. Today, almost 60 years later, we recognize this problem in our society. All the research would show that anxiety is something experienced by millions of people. What was prevalent in 1961 America is more prevalent across the Western world in this 21st century. Just input words like anxiety, pressure, stress, worry. Put them into Google or another search engine, and you will discover numerous articles. Some are of a medical, scientific nature. Others are popular, simply written for the mass audience, but all highlight the nature of the problem. One writer who suffers himself wrote about the gut-wrenching torture that he experienced. He puts the blame on job insecurity and rising housing costs, which have contributed to a whole generation being plagued. Another author writes about the breakdown of community, the drive of consumerism, the rise of social media, which brings us together only to drive us apart, the obsession with image amongst younger people, and the increasing isolation of a growing older generation. All of these things contribute to the problem of anxiety. Every generation, it seems, suffers from this problem in different ways. All the statistics would show that we are facing a public health crisis. This is a hidden problem that results in very obvious consequences. Anxiety leads to more serious mental health issues and can affect one's physical health also. It creates havoc within the home and leads to days off work. Was Time magazine correct in 1961 when, in addition to the pressures of modern life, it cited the breakdown of faith and reason as being major factors? Faith and reason. Now, I find that a very striking statement. The atheist, the humanist, claims that faith is not reason, that it is not a reasonable thing to have faith. I would argue the opposite, that faith in the Bible, faith in the Word of God, is the most reasonable action that any man or woman can perform. Set aside the reasoning that is in Scripture, the reasoning that is found in the book that Jesus Christ himself described as truth. Thy word is truth. Set aside this book and one flounders in the darkness. In Matthew chapter 6, Jesus Christ deals with this very problem of anxiety. We consider this to be a very modern problem, but yet this problem has been in existence for a very long time. The Lord Jesus Christ, in his earthly ministry, he dealt with this problem in the passage that we have read in Matthew chapter 6. You see, we are prone to fear and we are prone to stress. Whatever your fears are today, Jesus Christ has a word for you. And I would implore you, I would appeal to you to put your faith in what he is teaching. It is reasonable so to do. So let's now think about the theme as we take it from this passage in Matthew chapter 6. Confronting our concerns, facing our fears, winning over our worries. And we're focusing upon this passage, Matthew chapter 6, verses 24 to 34. Now, the key to understanding this passage is the word therefore. The word therefore is found in this passage on three occasions. Whenever you see the word therefore, you must look to what precedes. And this word therefore shows us what anxiety is and how we can deal with it. And remember, this is Jesus Christ that is speaking. This is the master teacher, so let us hear his word. Let's come to the first wherefore. It is found in the verse 25. Therefore I say unto you, take no thought for your life what ye shall eat or what ye shall drink, nor yet for your body what ye shall put on. Is not the life more than meat, and the body than raiment? In this, therefore, I want to show you the servitude to be refused. The first, therefore, takes us back to the 24th verse. And what does verse 24 say? No man can serve two masters, for either he will hate the one and love the other, or else he will hold to the one and despise the other. Ye cannot serve God and mammon. Therefore, I say unto you. Here we are challenged as to who or what we are serving. Are we serving money? Are we serving material things? What drives our ambitions? What inspires us? What really motivates us? If the material world is first in our order of thinking, and the material world there is represented by this word mammon, which actually means money, if we serve material things, we are not serving God. And sometimes we are dominated by worry simply because the things of this world have much too high a place in our priorities. On account of this, no man can serve two masters. You cannot serve God and mammon. Because of this, Jesus said, therefore, I say unto you, take no thought. Now, these words, take no thought, they do not mean that we are to be careless or indifferent to our practical and physical needs. The scripture teaches that we are stewards, that we have been given responsibility for nurturing our health and well-being. This word, therefore, I say unto you, take no thought. It is a way of teaching this lesson that we are not to be overly preoccupied with our physical life. We are not even to be overly preoccupied with what we eat, what we drink, what we wear. And what Jesus Christ does here, he strips life back away from the luxuries, the things that we would not really want to be without. And he comes down to the very basics, the things that we need in order to live. We need to drink, we need to wear clothing, and we need to eat. These things are the basic essentials of life. And yet Jesus said, we're not even to be overly worried or preoccupied about these very necessary things. You see, what the Lord is saying is this. God gives us gifts. These gifts are here to serve us. Our careers, our business, our money, our talents, our clothes, our food. They are there for us to control, for us to enjoy, for us to use wisely, for our own benefit, for the benefit of others, and above all, for the glory of God. But if we become mastered by something we ought to be controlling, we're in trouble. Just think about fire. Fire is a great friend. Gives us warmth, gives us heat, energy that comes from the flame. But if the fire takes over, we're in real trouble. Some people are obsessed with their business and career. They have little thought for anything else. Their health suffers. Their family life suffers because their business has controlled them. They should be controlling it. Think of old Ebenezer Scrooge, Charles Dickens' famous character. He was dominated by the love of money and became so miserable in the process. Others are so besotted by their own appearance and their own image. Therefore, what men and women do is this. They erect gods. Gods of self, gods of wealth. And as a result, man becomes so discontented, becomes distressed, becomes anxious, because he has lost sight of priority. He has become a slave to something that he ought to be mastering. Let us move on to think about the second, therefore. And we have this in the verse 31. Look at it, please. Therefore, take no thought, saying, what shall we eat, or what shall we drink, or wherewithal shall we be clothed? Let us think about what precedes this verse 31. Because the Lord now takes us to the argument of logic, the argument of common sense. The Lord employs some common sense, down-to-earth reasons here as to why we should not be filled with anxiety. The first one comes in the verse 26. Look, he said, behold, look at the birds. Look at the fowls of the air. Look at the swallows coming here to spend the summer months. Look at the robin who is here in summer and winter. Look at the birds. They don't sow, they don't reap, they don't gather. Yet God feeds them. Are we not more important in the eyes of God to the birds? Now look at verse 27. Again, he's staying with this whole idea of employing common sense reasons as to why we should not be filled with anxiety. Verse 27, which of you by taking thought can add one cubit to his stature? The word stature can be taken in two ways here. It may mean physical height. If anyone worries about growing a little taller, will he actually grow taller? What good is their worrying? The word stature can also be employed with reference to length of life, according to the Greek original. And if one really, really worries about growing older, will that enable them to grow older? Well, it won't, because worry doesn't do anything positive for us. This is what the Lord is saying. And now he comes to the verse 28. Look at the lilies. Look at the flowers. Look at their intricate beauty. Look at their design. Look at their glory. They have never spun, and yet Solomon, with all his glory and his wealth, was not arrayed like these. God even clothes the grass of the field, which grows up and then is cut down. And if God looks after the birds, and if God looks after the grass, and if God designs the flowers, is he not going to look after us? Do you see what the Lord is saying here? And then in this verse 30, at the very end of it, he punches the message home with a rather blunt statement, but one that we need to get into our hearts. O ye of little faith. He is now employing the argument of trust and faith, because faith is the reasonable act of the soul. Therefore, look at verse 31. Therefore, on account of all this, because we have such a caring and compassionate Father, because we have one that knows all things, the end from the beginning, because we have one who cares for his people, we are not to be filled with cares and concerns and worries and fears, because we have such a great God. This is what he is saying. In employing the argument of logic and common sense, Christ is teaching us that we have a sovereign God. All things come from him. All things occur through him. He determines the end of all things. Therefore, in life, with all of its concerns, we can rest on him as a kind and gracious and generous and sympathetic Father. Yet some are not the children of God, because this passage is addressed to God's children. And the Bible says not all men and not all women have faith. Some do not have faith. Some are not the children of God. How can you know that God is your Father? How can you claim this passage for your own? You need to be born into his family. And Jesus Christ said that we can only be born into the family of God whenever we are born again. Whatever is troubling you today, the greatest trouble is soul trouble. To know that your sins have separated you from God, to know that you are facing his righteous judgment, there is no problem more serious than this. Yet in this materialistic world, so many people, they worry about things that are fleeting, things that are transient. They worry about the body, and the body is a dying thing. And they think little of their soul. And if their soul is lost forever, calamity of calamities. Ensure that you are a child of God, and then you can rest upon his word with confidence and peace. Let's come finally to the third, therefore. It is found in the verse 34. Take therefore no thought for the morrow, for the morrow shall take thought for the things of itself. Sufficient unto the day is the evil thereof. This is the satisfaction to be received. Verse 34 shows us a person who is absolutely at peace. He looks tomorrow in the eye, and he knows that anything could happen tomorrow. He knows that death may be awaiting tomorrow. He knows that in this unpredictable world, There is no guarantee of tomorrow, but yet this person takes no thought for the morrow. He knows that God controls tomorrow. Sufficient unto the day is the evil thereof. Why is this person so satisfied? Well, we must look at the therefore and why it is there. Take therefore no thought for the morrow. Why can we have such peace in relation to tomorrow? Verse 33 is the key. Look at verse 33, one of the great texts in Scripture. But seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. Remember who is speaking? Christ. If we are to have absolute peace and satisfaction in this world of sorrow and difficulty and hardship, if we are to have peace, we've got to rest on Christ. We've got to rest on his word. And he says, seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. You see, there is no point in telling somebody who is worrying, don't worry. We can't do that. But we can tell them to replace their worries with something else, something more positive. And the Lord is saying here, rather than being filled and overwhelmed with anxiety, seek first the kingdom of God. Live for God. Live for God's kingdom. God's kingdom is his church, his great universal church that transcends the continents, the nations, the tribes, the tongues of this world. The great kingdoms of this world will come and go as they have come and as they have gone throughout all of history. The empires of this world, they have their little moment, but Christ's church remains. His kingdom continues to extend because he alone is King of kings and Lord of lords. Therefore, put his kingdom first. Put his righteousness first. And all these things will be added unto you. Christ is worth living for. This is the satisfaction I commend to you. Do you know him? Have you found him at the foot of his cross, where this king died for you, that he might be your Prince of Peace? Have you put your trust in him, that you might know his grace? Let's have a word of prayer. Father in heaven, we thank you so much for your word. We pray that you would bless it to every heart. We pray that we would take it to our hearts. And those that are anxious, may they find that peace that is found alone in Jesus Christ. We thank you for your presence. Amen.
Thank you for spending some time with us today around the Word of God. For further information, visit our website at ltbs.tv. We look forward to joining with you next time as we seek to let the Bible speak once again.